Okay, point taken by Ted, and even though what Robert Welch, by the way, may have been saying in his book about the politician Eisenhower certainly was true, what kind of a despot he was and a traitor in World War II, the average person had no idea as to what Eisenhower actually did with the Soviet Union in World War II and how he emerged politically in this country with the help of the media in the 1950s at the particularly at the Democratic, at the Republican convention. So, you know, Ted, you're right about that. People are brainwashed. People are illiterate. And unfortunately, we can owe that all to the controlled media. So when someone like you or me or other person comes along and sometimes we make a brash statement, however true it may be, the average person is programmed.
Yes.
The average village idiot is programmed to think in a certain way. And unfortunately, that's what they become. They become robotized. They become idiots. They become, brainwashed and conditioned with a reflex mechanism. And you know the reflex, how that works. So, buzzwords like anti-Semitism. The ADL has done that to us and has conditioned us through the media to make people immediately on the defensive. Whenever they hear, for instance, criticism now of Israel, they have used this line for 50 years, anti-Semite, bigot, racist, you know. And after a while, it gets to be tiring, and I think they are the ones that have bitten off a bit more than they can chew now by constantly referring to those buzzwords, constantly using them to hammer away at any criticism of Israel, and to the point where they have become their own executioners. So why should we give them more ammunition? Why should we give them that opportunity when they're doing a pretty good job, I think, of destroying themselves eventually?
Well, you know, many, many evangelicals are the salt of the earth. They're very good people.
Yes.
But they have misunderstood the scriptures. They've misunderstood the Abrahamic covenant and Palestine covenant. We're all conditional upon faith. In fact, I did a major email alert last week talking about this and pointing out, I really brought these scriptures out where God speaks to Abraham and he says, because you have obeyed me, I will bless you. And if your descendants follow that lead and also give me this kind of faith and obedience, I will bless them. But what's happened is that the Christians, out of their own devotion to the scriptures and idealism and so on, have accepted for the last century basically the Schofield dispensational era, which has been promoted by ADL and the evil Jewish leaders, and they've gotten a wrong twist in which they basically agree with the Jews that obedience no longer matters in order to obtain the blessings of God, and specifically rights to occupy Palestine. But you know what I'm doing is the fact is that there is a very, very deep respect and a deep tradition of biblical obedience and respect for the Bible here. And what I do is I go into the scriptures and I am teaching these evangelicals big time, really. I'm teaching them that their own scriptures, their own Bible shows the great heroes of the faith, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, John the Baptist, and our Lord himself, virulently critical of these false leaders. And I say, well, if false Jewish leaders existed at 2000 B.C., well, they also probably exist today. And I point out that ADL B'nai B'rith is a continuation of a false leadership of Israel, which has led the flock of Israel into darkness and confusion for thousands of years. And so what I'm doing is I'm making a bridge over, and I'm using their own Bible, their own scriptures, to lead them to a better understanding of this problem.
Okay. All right, Ted. We'll be back then, and we'll take more calls. They're backing up, so we'll get right to them and continue with this topic, generating a lot of heat tonight, as is good. By the way, Rick Adams, Ted Pike, and Harmony Grant, all on the program.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams, for Tom. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on.
Ouch. Oh, Okay, and we are back now, and our guest is Ted Pike, and of course with him is his niece, Harmony Grant, and poor Harmony hasn't said too much there. I guess she must be taking all of this in, Harmony, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd just like to, can I just say something quickly?
Of course you can, yes.
That Ted and I are both ultimately speaking as Christians, and, you know, part of the reason that our message is not hateful or full of extreme statements is because we want to speak of Christ, and the reason that we are trying to preserve freedom in this country is so that the gospel can be preached. And what Christ did was to offer salvation to every person everywhere, mm-hmm. Jewish, Gentile, of any nationality, who would trust in him and forsake sin and live in his will. And ultimately, we know that we need God's grace in order to protect freedom in this country. And the most powerful way that freedom could be saved is if more people would humble themselves and completely yield themselves to Christ. And then his Spirit does give us the love of truth and of other people's souls, which motivates real political action and change.
Very true. Well, let me give that number again. Someone just called off the air and wants us to repeat the numbers in the halls of Congress to reach your congressman and, of course, to go right down the line. If you have time to stay on the line and speak to the senators, and there are a bunch of senators maybe that preferentially should be reached, Ted, as I know, right? You have
yes,
a list.
Yes, at truthtellers.org, we have the list there of the 14 Republicans who did vote for the federal hate bill in 2004. We want to put those at the top of the list for people to call, attempt to get them to come back over to the Republican ranks mm-hmm. and oppose the hate bill. We also have a list there, I think, of 16 members of the Senate who haven't, excuse me, Republicans in the Senate who haven't declared themselves either way, mm-hmm. and then also 10 Democrats who are not co-sponsors of the bill. You see, in the Senate, if we can just get 6 or 7 of these senators to come back over and vote against the hate bill, we can smash the hate bill in the Senate, and that's the end of the hate bill in this term of Congress. But that toll-free number to your member of the Senate is 877-851-6437. That's 877-851-6437. And then, of course, there's the toll number, 202-225-3121.
224.
Well, the 224 is for the House. 225 is for the Senate. Doesn't make much difference.
Okay.
They'll
all
both
right.
get you through.
Oh, they'll be, either way, we'll get you through. 202-224-3121 or 225.
But,
all right. Very good.
But right now, Rick, we have pretty much, I believe, we've defeated this lobbyist reform proposal in the House of Representatives. Now we have to turn our attention very quickly back to the Senate, because as I mentioned earlier in the program, I believe that the hate bill was set aside for a week or two here to give the Jewish lobby and the homosexuals and liberals time to mount a campaign against
right.
President Bush.
Yeah, they have been
promoting
it. They're
going to move the hate bill real fast through the Senate very quickly, so we have to call immediately.
Well, the adjunct groups of the ADL, the People Against the American Way, and other groups like that have been advertising within their own communities and publicly to try to get people to support the bill. So it's not just us and people on the right, the evangelicals, who are opposing it only. There is a campaign to try to convince these people in the Senate to support this bill. And that's important to understand. It's not just a freeway with one-way traffic here.
That's right.
So, I mean, a word to the wise should be sufficient. Let's get back to the phones now. And we have Dave in Wyoming next. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Rick.
Yes.
I still think you've got the best program on the radio.
Well, I try.
And, Ted, I really appreciate what you're doing. I think nobody can really assess what you're doing. I hear
you.
Other programs have talked to you before, and your niece there, it's refreshing to hear a young person that's got the wisdom she does.
Yes.
You're exactly right. I mean, I feel Bob's frustration at times, but the weapons are warfare and not carnal, and wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have to do it this way, and that's the only way it's going to be successful. I wonder, a couple questions. One is, can you prove that Abe Foxman definitely is the leading the charge in, with this, and the ADL is basically the major pusher for this hate crimes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, at truthtellers.org, we have a link to ADL.org, and they ADL has a 14-page history there of everything that they have done over the past 25 years in America to inaugurate hate crimes legislation, both a state and federal. That is a that's a tremendous education to read it from the ADL's lips themselves at ADL.org. Mm-hmm. And that'll make you a believer. Also, if people will come to Google at video.com, videogoogle.com, my video, I have an 80-minute video there called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians. And in that video, I not only talk about how the ADL is a master spy organization spying on tens of thousands of Americans and illegal lists and so on, but how they persuaded Parliament in Canada in 1971 to enact their federal hate crimes law, which has been a tremendous thorn to lovers of freedom in Canada. And so the documentation is there at the video. It's available at ADL.org. And I've done a lot of other articles. You can read at Truth Tellers with many, many corroborating statements and actions by the ADL, which proves overwhelmingly that ADL and B'nai B'rith International, which is the worldwide a branch of organized world Jewry out of which ADL comes, they are all working massively, especially in the Western Hemisphere, to establish these hate crime systems in government. In fact, I have articles at Truth Tellers describing how ADL B'nai B'rith is setting up in Europe right now a massive 55-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. So that is beyond any kind of question.
The other thing is, I've contacted our congressman several times. I get the American Free Press today, and I've seen how they voted on this last bill.
Yep.
Craig Thomas has gotten back with me, and he's said we got laws on the books to protect, to prosecute criminals. But the other ones, Enzi and Cuban, they've never replied to me the times that I have called them. I kind of monitor the way they vote, and like I have, but I got these three. What happens if I was to call somebody from another state? Would that go through or what?
Yes, you should be free as a non-constituent to call any member of Congress. You have a perfect right to do that, and they're obligated to take your opinion because whether or not they're in your state, they nevertheless represent you as an American citizen. Also at Truth Tellers, we have the list of all the members of the new Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives. We also have their lists of the influential 8 to 10 legislative aides of every member of Congress. And it's a wonderful thing to send. I have a hate crimes brochure at truthtellers.org. You can print that out and send that to these legislative aides and get some real truth and light going in, especially to your member of the Senate or House from your district.
There you go. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Keep up
I appreciate
the good work.
It. Henry in Connecticut is next. Hello, Henry.
Yes, hi. Let me ask this, though. What do you do when you also have in my state, all of them unanimously in the representative, in the House of Representatives voted for this bill, including there's one Republican where I'm at, and he even voted for it. Now, as far as the Senate goes, how many Democrats, are there some Democrats that may not vote for this?
Well, yeah, the hopeful sign, Henry, was in this last vote in the House of Representatives several weeks ago, there were no less than 14 Democrats who evidently saw the light and did not vote for the hate bill. Now, I know it's discouraging to have all these thinking liberals in representing you in Congress, but the fact is that when we flood them with the hate crimes flyers, when we let them know we are opposed to them, that gets through to them. That gets through to their legislative aides, even their receptionists, because these are live, warm bodies, and if they keep getting this avalanche of protests from the American people, it becomes a counterweight to the ADL pressures, the ADL propaganda, which may be all they have ever known, you see. Now, as I said, 13 Democrats voted against it. This is unprecedented. Now, if we could only get two Democrats to come over in the Senate,
yeah,
maybe five Republicans, hey, we would have licked the hate bill of this session of Congress. So let's not give up. There might be a sincere person or two among those the legislative aides and so on. And if we're seeing a sign of Democrats balking a little bit, that rift could widen. We have to remember that these hate bills do prosecute liberals. There were several liberals in England who were facing 7 years in prison for criticizing Islam last year. They were vindicated by a court of their peers, but liberals have said some pretty harsh things against Islam and Islamo-fascism and so on, and they should know that those could be dredged up retroactively against them under hate laws and could indict them, so they have to protect their tails as well.
Yeah, one more question.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
We'll hang on because we didn't have much time with you. Okay. Stay where you are, Henry, and those of you on the line, Troy and Mike and whoever else is there, will get to you, too, on this very animated discussion tonight of these bills, particularly the hate bill. Rick Adams, Ted Pike, and Harmony Grant will return. We're back now on the program Uncensored Radio Free America with Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, and we do have our caller Henry on the line with Ted Pike and Harmony Grant. Yes, Henry, you had another point.
Yeah. I was going to say that some of those laws that they even passed, I think, even in Europe, might even be unconstitutional anyway, and they may slip them through. And they don't have the same constitution we have, but I'm talking about England. You mentioned England before. I remember way back, like in the Scorpio days in the late 80s, early 90s, you could say almost anything you want in England, and they had laws in Germany, but they didn't have anything like that in England. They had
the European Union there, and you know the European Union draft that they were working on was to omit any reference to the deity, to God. The last time I heard, Ted, have you heard anything about that?
Not specifically on that point.
Yes, but they have, and it was publicized, and they're becoming more and more really anti-religious and anti-Christian, the governments of Europe, that is, and they the leadership is turning further and further away. You see, to make this New World system operate and to give their allegiances to Jerusalem in the final days, I think you'll see that emerge more and more and more. As they reject their heritage and they reject Christianity, they will embrace this new world order inevitably, I think. I think that's what's happening now.
Well, the liberals during the 60s were the arch champions of so-called free speech. You remember Allen Ginsberg and Berkeley and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, also God is dead at the same time.
Yeah. So
that was the movement. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And they are still hypocritical. Now they have done a 180, and they are the champions of only a politically correct speech. And but what we have to do is really we have to make America an island, a bastion of truth and constitutional safeguards now, because as I was mentioning earlier, the ADL is setting up this huge so-called anti-hate bureaucracy in Europe. They are very impatient that America establish a federal hate crimes law, which will link America, Canada, and Europe together. And eventually, I believe you're right, this will be enforced. Hate crimes laws will be enforced against especially anti-Semitism, Christian so-called anti-Semitism, and holding the Jews responsible for the death of Christ. That will all become a hate crime adjudicated from Jerusalem someday.
Yeah.
But our real hope now is that we can stand up at this pivotal the watershed moment of history,
mm-hmm.
and continue to win these battles in the House, in the Senate, in the Judiciary committees that we are witnessing right at this very moment.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll see. Oh, yeah,
yes, Henry.
Yeah, they're not going to really get away with it because I'm listening to Radio Netherlands even last night. They're trying to, but they didn't get there yet. There's a lot of mess with that European Union. And
there's
also,
a lot of opposition amongst the people in the various countries, too.
Also, when you mention religion, it looks like Denmark. Now, Denmark, to this day, you can say whatever you want, even the Holocaust. I talked to them, but the Danish are going back to their original ancestors' religion, which is like with the Norse gods, and they didn't outlaw that. I don't think they can. But I'm just going to say this and hang up. The people out there, if you're listening, you should call, because I'll tell you, I called myself, and I could tell a couple of times, even when I called out of state, you should call out of state, because I hear them, sorry, I hear the aides tapping on the computer when I give my name, if I discuss a particular bill, and I make a comment not to pass it. I think they do take account of how many calls and how many people are in opposition,
they
and
do.
If it gets too hot, they will... It does shake them up. I mean, for instance, I said before, there's no difference between those two parties. Now, the place where I'm at, the guy who represents me in my area is a Republican, not a Democrat. And I'm not for Democrat or Republican, but he's a Republican, and he voted for that same bill as well as Murphy and Larson and all the other Democrats of the state. It's only one guy.
Yeah.
Okay, right. You can look it up. I won't mention the name.
Sure.
Okay, but again, put the pressure on it because it will work.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Bye, take care.
Let's take another call quickly before the break. Troy in New York. Hello, Troy.
Hello.
Yes.
I hope I can have a minute this time.
Okay.
I want to thank Ted Pike for keeping his finger in the dike all this time and letting us know what was coming down the pike for all these many years.
Mm.
Because I was worried that they would actually do the treasonous, unconstitutional thing this time, Congress, I mean. I set to work about 3 weeks ago to write a reply, a rebuttal, and Ted says, it's a war of ideas, and of course it is. And I know that I've been hearing you also, the host, saying, time after time, what are you folks doing? And so I didn't call because I was busy doing it. But anyway, it's like a 38-page transcript, and it took me like 3.3 hours to say it, to put it on. To say it in words, And I uploaded it tonight. Two versions. One version is up. The other version is not. The 16-bit version is up. The 40-bit version is not. So it's an answer to what's going on. So folks who want to check it out, it's at thehouseoftroy.com. Don't forget the. Thehouseoftroy.com. Go to the auditorium. There's the prose room, which I have PDFs. There's the poetry room, the music room, which are all audio, but also the auditorium. Because I invested in a mic a few months ago, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, basically, it's about truth and how truth arrives. Truth arrives by the freedom of speech. What are laws against freedom of speech, which are proposed, are laws against truth. By dark forces who want to keep truth out of the public ear. And so, without truth, without freedom of speech, we don't have truth, and without truth, we don't have justice. Because justice has to be based on truth. Otherwise, you're hanging people for false lies, as it happened at Nuremberg, right?
Yes.
So without truth, there's no justice. So this is what is happening here. These are the forces of darkness that want to take, that want to build a wall so high as they did in Soviet Union that the sun couldn't get in. I hope folks will go to thehouseoftroy.com, the auditorium, and download my MP3. It's only like 24 megs at the 16-bit version. The other one is going to be like 54 megs.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't uploaded that yet because I interrupted myself to call you guys. So thanks for giving me a minute, and I hope you check it out. I got an email there for folks who want to respond. Ideas for you, okay?
Very good, Troy. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And we'll be back after this break with more calls. Mike in Pennsylvania leading off. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Spread the word. Ted Pike and Harmony Grant, www.truthtellers.org, is their website. We'll return. All right, now we're back, and we are having a lot of discussion tonight, Ted. I didn't think we'd have so much input into the program, but you see, people are getting madder and madder, I suppose, hotter and hotter. And that's not a bad thing, as long as we direct our energies to a fruitful endeavor.
But that's right. Barry Goldwater said that passion
in defense of liberty is no vice.
That's right.
And it's necessary to raise the temperature and raise the level of righteous indignation against what is happening against us and our freedom. But what historically what has happened as this trend continues is that people kind of go over the top. They begin to become racistic. They begin to become inflammatory, even militant, and even physically violent. And
yeah.
What we want to do this time around is we want to put the brakes on, especially bringing this into a biblical context and showing this, that this is a great controversy of the ages between great spiritual forces struggling for the souls and destinies and nations and so on. And we want to bring this biblical moderation into this so that the Jews aren't dehumanized, they aren't demonized, but instead their evil Jewish leaders are held up as the eye of this octopus will go after them, as Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and John the Baptist did in the most specific terms. And I believe if we can expose them and continue to expose them to the forces of the world and the forces of the church, we can begin to get some reality here. My great dream is that even though Europe may go down river and go into this Antichrist confederation, nevertheless, the United States of America can be preserved at least for a generation.
Okay. All right. Let's hope and see if that happens. Mike is next in Pennsylvania. Hello, Mike. You're on the program.
Hello. Can you all hear me?
I can all hear you, yes.
Okay, very good. Greetings from Northwest Pennsylvania. In relation to the previous hour, you had the one caller there, Bob.
Yeah.
Was he from Missouri?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I actually have to side with Bob because we're dealing with compromise here, folks. Let's not forget, we just can't smooth peanut butter over everything, even Christ Jesus himself flogged them out of there with a scourge of cords. You just can't smooth peanut butter on everything.
Well, the scriptures say there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time for anger. There's a time for, you know, for war. There's a time for peace and so forth. But let's not make it war all the time. Let's not make it shouting all the time. Let's not make it screaming and ranting all the time. Let's do something else. When the time is appropriate, you do it.
That's fine. That's fine, Rick, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
But we also have to clear up some things on this so-called alleged Jew situation. For goodness sakes, guys, these ones that call themselves Jews, they're not followers of the law. I have no trouble. I would just love and hug someone that followed God's law.
Yeah.
But these ones that call themselves Jews, they follow the Talmud and the Kabbalah.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes, let's
we're aware of that. Yep.
Let's not mix the two up. And that's pretty
much.
See,
now let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
And Ted, you can join in harmonies as well. Do you think that most Jews, and I use the term, you know, the term Jews in quotes, okay, so-called Jews, unquote, are aware of what's in the Talmud? Do you think most Jews, I mean, practicing religious or not, are aware of everything that's in the Talmud?
Well, here in the United States.
Well, I'm asking the caller too, but you can all answer it. Go ahead, you do it first, Ted.
Okay, here in the United States,
yeah,
the Jews have been welcomed with open arms by Christian civilization as never before in history. Literally, for more than a century, the Jews have been accosted and blessed and favored and exempted from criticism in a way that they could never have. Their wildest imagination 3 or 4 centuries ago would never have entertained such indulgence, okay? And what has happened here is that many, many American Jews have become quite assimilated into American society. In fact, roughly 50% of Jewish young men now marry Gentile girls. This is considered a tremendous holocaust in itself by hardline Orthodox Jews who feel that this is decimating the Jewish gene pool and Jewish future and so on. Now, the truth of the matter is, years ago I went into a conservative synagogue here in Portland, Oregon, and I sat down next to an attractive young Jew in his mid-30s probably, and we got talking, and he was just amazed at me. He said, at last, an intelligent person, at last a person who knows something about Judaism. And he was there in a conservative congregation, and he was bewailing to me how that all of the members of that congregation didn't know anything about the Talmud, anything about the Zohar, anything about the great rabbis and so on. And here I came in, and he didn't know where I came from. I knew all about Rabbi Akiba and Rabbi Simeon ben Yochai and all that kind of stuff. He was just fascinated with what I had to say, but he gave me a candid appraisal that American Jewry is really very ignorant of the Talmud. And, of course, the New Agers and people who are speaking in Judaism get into the Zohar and Kabbalah and so on. But there is a great ignorance. Now, he told me very candidly that in New York, among the really the ultra-Orthodox or the Hasidic Jews, probably those who are the Lubavitchers, followers of Rabbi Schneerson and so on, then he says you get real Judaism in the kind of Jews, you know, the wear the black hats and the side curls and all that kind of thing. He also said in Israel you have real hardline, old-fashioned Orthodox Judaism in the trenches, if you will, against the Arab adversaries and so on. But what we have to realize here is that it's not necessarily the suburban Jew in the United States who is primarily our antagonist in this fight, but ADL B'nai B'rith is a select group of probably 500,000 hardline liberal Jews internationally who are behind agitation and legislation and so on in more than 55 nations of the world, pushing especially for hate crimes laws. And that's why I feel safe in constantly directing my criticisms and my fire against ADL B'nai B'rith. You see, there is something like 14 million Jews in the world, and only 500,000 are members of what B'nai B'rith calls organized world Jewry. We have to go against, we have to oppose mainly this evil Jewish leadership in the world, which I believe is a continuation of the same kind of evil Jewish leadership which Christ reproved, which the Hebrew prophets are reproved in their time.
Okay.
Now, having said that, the fact of the matter is, though, that this flock of Israel generally have a tendency to even mindlessly follow the liberal agenda which comes out of B'nai B'rith. They send their kids to B'nai B'rith summer camp. They follow, they get the newsletters and the fundraisers from ADL, so on. They're carried
along. Well, they get the fundraisers, yes.
By this evil Jewish leadership.
Yes, they do. All right, you answered my question. Harmony, did you want to answer that as well, as far as your understanding of extent to which Jews know of the Talmud?
I guess I would just second what Ted said. I completely agree with his excellent summary.
Okay, and caller, I ask you the same question. Do you believe that it is a small, relatively small number that is fully aware of the commentaries in the Talmud?
Yes, sir, we actually do. And I'd like to speak to everyone also on the scriptures about Luke 22, when he told the apostles, did I not send you out without script, without staff, without sword? He sent them out to the Yehuda first. But something changed, folks. After the gospel was given to the original, as most everyone knows them, Jews, things changed. And I just pray you think on all that then.
All right. That's
okay.
Fair enough. Sure. Thank you.
Very good. Bye.
Thank you for your level of discourse as well. Okay, let's see, 1-800-313-9443. And again, not to make this an issue of us versus them or this group or that group. We know it's aimed at Christianity. But, you know, there are an awful lot of fellow travelers who call themselves Christians that are walking in lockstep with this ADL bill. As you pointed out, Ted, you know, and I'll tell you, right here in my home state, Rhode Island, we just had these hearings on a gay marriage bill. And again, you know, we had 100 religious organizations lobby on behalf of sodomite marriages in this state. 100. Most of them were churches, not synagogues. Churches. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
You see, what I'm trying to say is that this movement is a very broad movement, even though it's narrowly created by the ADL, Jewish supremacists, and their ilk, that they have managed to bring on board on their bandwagon a lot of other people who are doing their dirty work for them and with them. And I think we need to realize that when it comes to these issues, we have a lot of people who constitute the, I guess I could say, the immoral minority, but yet that group is larger than we think. It is not just ADL, but their minions and those they use and believe are useful idiots, okay? And these churches, to me, these 100 churches here that are lobbying on behalf of gay marriage in the name of the gospel are far more dangerous because they call themselves Christians, you see, than anyone on the outside. That's my own opinion.
That's right. And in a really broad context, I believe that historically it can be easily demonstrated that at the core of the world revolutionary movement, going clear back to the Pharisees and their Talmud and so on, is this evil Pharisaic Jewish cabalistic plot. But on the other hand, throughout the centuries, they have made use of the Gentiles. They've diversified, and I think that all the forms of Freemasonry are an attempt, and a very successful attempt, to enlist Gentiles in helping to facilitate this eventual one-world government.
Well, you see, that's what's happening. You form front groups and you influence them and you dress it up as civil liberties, make it sound nice. Who's against liberties? Who's against civil rights? You know, it sounds so nice. And this is how they try to, unfortunately, put the opposition, which is us, on the defensive. It's all in a word. It's all in a name. Buzzwords and all of that, we have to try to work against and make this an issue of constitutionality, an issue of free speech, an issue of attack on Christianity, yes, an issue of attack on faith, the faith of our fathers. All of these things play into the picture. It's not just one aspect, it's all of them. But I think that you have made the point that now, for the first time, Ted, your organization is beginning to mobilize the very people that the Jewish supremacists have counted on to do all of their dirty work for them. Well, now they're beginning to see this, and that's important.
That's right. And many leaders, in fact, of organizations which are now critical of evil Jewish leadership have been influenced by my videos in the past. I've been fighting this battle really hard since the first book was published in 1984, my first video in 1987. Mm-hmm. In fact, Tex Mars was an evangelical, and he watched my video, read my book, and had a strictly evangelical radio audience clear back in the 80s. But he has told me that as a result of the pioneering work and seeing what I could get away with, he determined he was going to gradually wean his audience over to the time when they could actively watch my video and read my book and so on. And, of course, that time came a long time ago as he moved them over and now has a very large constituency, which is opposing a Zionist control. And many other people have told me that and gone forward into their own forms of education and activism. So it is a very fruitful time. Many, many evangelicals are now coming to truthtellers.org with many testimonies of having their eyes opened by what we're doing.
Right, and now, Harmony, you have been writing on some columns recently, and I know you're planning some new ones. What's the focus of your columns that you've been writing for Truth Tellers?
Well, I've been writing a lot about this Jewish activism and the legislation and the burgeoning anti-Christianity that the church really needs to be vigilant against.
Mm-hmm. That anti-Christianity, as I said, is taking many forms. And at the same time, let's not lose sight of the fact that even though most of the time the enemies of the faith really are in the liberal Protestant, particularly the liberal Protestant churches, the National Council and all of them, that even they have had to realize that these types of bills, which they have been prone to support, are going to wind up taking away their criticism of the policies of the state of Israel and branding them as haters. So, you know, they're really betwixt and between here, aren't they?
Well, we have to realize that this legislation will undercut everyone's rights. Ultimately, it can be used by whoever is in power to silence those who would criticize them. And that's why the protest of this bill should completely cross party lines, and does. There are liberals that certainly protest this, but we need a lot more, and we need a lot more, hopefully, mainstream criticism of this legislation as well, because it completely undercuts the basic freedoms and liberties that have made America so unique and so precious in the world.
Very true. Absolutely. Well, we're almost up against the break time. I don't know what I can add. The important thing that we've talked about, the three bills, but primarily focusing in on the hate bill, as it's known. And again, of course, you know, we're talking about S-1105. That's the number of the bill. People just have to keep getting others and themselves to keep calling and making this a hot-button issue that the senators are afraid to give approval to. That's the message, right, Ted?
Yeah, the more controversial any legislation is, the more loath a politician is to get involved with it. He would rather let it die in committee or forget about it, because it polarizes his constituency and he begins to lose those who begin to oppose him.
Well said. Well said. Okay. Do we have any other callers, Mr. Producer? Okay, so we don't have any other callers. We've exhausted, I think, the issue. And, Ted, I want to thank you and Harmony for joining with us again tonight. I'll be back with a postscript, but thank you both, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, folks. Good night now.